Song number 41, I Will Praise Him. That's song 41 in our hymnals, I Will Praise Him. Church, and if you don't have a bulletin, just raise your hand and my son will get you one. Today is July 6th. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. We got in like early afternoon, well, probably early evening yesterday from Dallas after like a hectic whirlwind of a trip, but we're here. As you can see, I know the Maluches are out on vacation, the Frigés are out on vacation, and then Heath and his wife, Sylvia. She texted me early this morning. He's not feeling too well. I think he was up all night under the weather. So we've got a mix. I kind of expected. I told Mom, I said, get ready because usually July to August is where we have like everybody going on vacation and stuff like that. But right there on the left, you have the Sunday morning service is 10:30. Sunday evening, 4:30 p.m. And then Wednesday service, 5:30 p.m. Our soul winning time is 2 p.m. on Sunday. And then, of course, I always make that available. If anybody texts me during the week and we can coordinate it, I'll go out anywhere. I know we have people all over the city of Houston and the surrounding areas. And then the verse of the week for the memory chapter is Psalm 23. The verse of the week is Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the children can quote it that week, as long as the parents are okay with it, we'll give them some ice cream to a non-family member. And then if they can quote the whole thing, then they get a special price. And the adults, if they can quote the entire chapter, at the end of next week, they also get a, usually it's a gift card. And so we'll be doing that. Mo gave you guys a toss-up. He gave you an easy one to start out this new venture, Psalm 23. Most people probably learned at some point in their life. But if you feel so inclined and you're behind, it's just six verses. It's a pretty easy chapter to memorize, and I would encourage you to do so. The Bible actually tells us and encourages us that we should meditate on the Word of God day and night. What better way to do that than with memorization? And then year-to-date, souls won 152. Right there on the other side, we have all the birthdays coming up. Brother Trey's birthday was on the 3rd. Boaz Malutich is in a couple of days, but he's up on vacation with his family, so I'm pretty sure they'll take care of him. Gentry's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then towards the end of the month, we have Aubrey and Lucy and Victor and Kevin, so we've got quite a bit of birthdays there. And then in the middle, you have a couple of anniversaries for the Rogers family, the DeMontos and Miranda's. And then we've got a couple of events coming up. So I've been trying to coordinate the events, and it's just really hard with everybody. You know, everybody's got, they're busy. You know, life is going on. So I just told Molly, I just said, just make a calendar, and we're just going to put it on there. And whoever shows up, great. And whoever doesn't, great. Because, you know, trying to coordinate with everybody is kind of a big hassle. So on July 19th, we'll have a soul-winning marathon. The first ones, because I'm just rolling this out, will be from here, and it'll be local. But as the months progress and we refine this calendar, we'll make them around the surrounding cities or maybe somewhere, you know, like I know Mike lives in Atascocita. Maybe we can go do one over there and like in Pearland and different areas. So July 19th, Soul Winning Marathon. So whenever we do a marathon, the way that it goes is we just show up wherever we're going to show up about 9. We'll provide breakfast for that first hour, just a little bit of getting prep time, materials, all that stuff. We'll go soul winning for a couple hours, then we'll provide lunch, and then we'll go soul winning again in the afternoon for a couple hours, and then we'll just call it a day. So on July 19th, we'll just meet here at the church. I'll probably have some breakfast tacos and donuts, things like that, coffee, juice. We'll go knock doors around the area. Then we'll come back. We'll probably either go to lunch somewhere or eat here, and then we'll go back out for another couple hours and just knock a bunch of doors. And the reason we're doing that is, number one, I mean, that is a major command of the Bible to go out soul winning. But number two, we had a good start to the year. But specifically, a lot of that was we had Steadfast come out in early January and just support us as we had a bunch of people join us from what was previously known as Pure Words. And we had a bunch of salvations, and we had 100 people. A lot of people were here. And so we got a good head start. So now we've got to really do it ourselves. And what I want to do is double that number. And so the only way to do that is we need to have more than just a regular soul winning time. We need to have some soul winning events and stuff like that. And then on July 26th, we'll just have a church work day. There's a bunch of stuff that needs to be done around the building. And whoever wants to volunteer and help out, you know, that would be greatly appreciated. We're constantly having if you walk around the church long enough, you'll feel the floor shift. And, you know, you'll notice there's things not perfectly in order. That's just, this building's been here since the 60s, so... Welcome to the 60s. You know, just that's how it goes. And then right there at the end, we have our men's retreat coming up with Steadfast. They invited us over to a men's retreat August 14th through the 16th. Any of the men in the church want to go, just let me know, and we'll coordinate that. I think it's over in, where's that dinosaur place? Glen Rose. That's what I think. Pastor Shelley hasn't gotten me all the info yet. And then I will be preaching on the 31st of August at the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. That Sunday morning, I'll be preaching in Spanish, and then that Sunday evening in English. So I'll be doing it bilingual. But I would encourage you to go to the whole thing. There's going to be some great preachers. Pastor Thompson will be there, Pastor Anderson, Pastor Russell from Arizona, Pastor Dinalaws from Oklahoma. So there's a good lineup, and of course, Pastor Shelley. So I would encourage you to do that. He's going to have a ton of fun activities for the kids. There's something called... What was it? Broom ball? I've never heard of it. My wife has, but apparently there's skating and football and kid stuff. So I would definitely encourage you guys to go there. If anybody from our church wants to go, just get with me and we'll coordinate and we'll go from there. We've got a couple other stuff coming up, but I'll leave that for another announcement. If nothing else, turn your hymnals over to page 280. 280. I was about to say,
Psalm number 280. Psalm 280, Heavenly Sunlight. Psalm 280. We would turn in our white song binders. Every row should have these white binders. We're going to turn to Psalm 67. That's going to be the psalm that we're going to be singing this week. Should be the second psalm in there. Psalm 67 in our white binders. Turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 3. We'll have Pastor read for us 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter number 3. And for those of you visiting, Pastor Cobb is my ordaining pastor. And if you see there on the bulletins,
He's Pastor Emeritus. That's just the fancy title we gave him because he said that's what you normally do whenever somebody else technically takes over. But Pastor Cobb is, you know, he's been here for 48 years, right? I always get that wrong. 48 years. In the recent years, he stepped back a little bit. But the one thing that that him and I have discussed, because I wouldn't want anybody to do that to me, is he's going to preach until his last breath, until the Lord tells him no more. And so we have a special treat. He's going to be preaching for us today, 2 Peter 3. And he ordained me back in 2016. So next year it'll be 10 years since I got ordained. But Pastor Cobb got ordained long time before that, you know. So he's actually been preaching at this church way longer than I've been alive. So he's a privilege to have him preach for us. He's a really good friend of mine. I mean, he's like a second father to me. I really love him. And I think that you guys will be blessed. He's one of the best preachers I've heard in my life. So I really enjoy his preaching. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, let's read the chapter as we normally do now. And then we'll have Pastor Cobb come up and preach for us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate another Independence Day. But more importantly, Lord, for us that are saved, thank you for allowing us to just celebrate another year of independence in Christ, in the Spirit, being free from the bondage of sin. And Lord, just give power of the Holy Spirit to Pastor Cobb, that he may thunder your word and bring us a good message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Okay, well, thank you, brother, for the privilege of standing here in this place and proclaiming his word again. I've been pastoring 69 years, 61, I'm sorry. I started a little church called Bethany Baptist in Cushing, Texas. A long time ago. I'll never forget the experience, but I won't belabor y'all with it. Thank the Lord he brought me this far. And the Lord willing, I'll be 90 next year. And I claim it for him. As long as the Lord leads me, as Brother Pastor said here just now, he got a purpose for me.
Amen.
And y'all pray that I might fulfill that purpose and might be a blessing and not a hindrance to the work. But my message this morning is entitled, Don't Be Ignorant. Don't be ignorant. And that's not difficult to do, in being ignorant. Sometimes ignorance is okay. I don't care what the world's doing out there. I'm ignorant of the fact of what's happening. But I know the Lord's way is going to be done in the final windup. On the back of the paper, I put a little joke. I don't normally do that, and I'm not too good at jokes anyway. If I did, I'd be on TV somewhere, but it's pretty good. It fits what we're talking about this morning. The family circus, if you don't mind, look at that a moment. It says, the little boy asks his daddy, he said, Daddy, what's an eternity? Well, Billy, an eternity is forever. It's an immeasurable expanse of time. It's a longer time than the mind can begin to imagine. Eternity is without beginning or end. Oh, little boy says. What do you want to know? Why do you want to know? Well, mommy says it seems like this year had lasted an eternity. Sometimes these little kids get on, but they're precious. You know, we're not going to complain about it because they're too precious to. But sometimes they get on your nerves a little bit. That's part of growing up and being raised. And I love your mother and daddy for correcting you because they know what's best for you.
Amen.
But again, our thoughts are taken from 2 Peter chapter 3. If you'll keep that handy there, we're going to be referring to some of those verses individually. But looking at the word ignorant, in seminary, one of the first words we learned and studied, and I had a Greek 2 years, one of the words we studied in depth was gnosko. And gnosko means I know. And of course, you take it from there, and a lot of words spring from that. The word ignore, it literally is against the word. But ignorant of God's word is the worst kind of ignorance. Because God has given his word. A lot of people don't realize that some years back, not everybody could read and write. there was a lot of ignorance that was there, but maybe uncalled for, or at least unwanted. But God does not want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us that way. In the seminary, one of the first things I learned, my brother Kirkland, the president of the school, stood there and said, fellas, it's not a sin to be ignorant. It's a sin to stay that way.
Right.
So we all have a certain amount of ignorance, and we make our own choices in life. But God gave us His holy word, the Bible, to learn about Him. A revelation of Him was given in words. 66 books go to make up this great Bible that we have, the Word of God. We have different writers. Out of the 66 books, there was 39 in the Old Testament, 27 New, and we have different writers. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the Bible under God's instruction and guidance. But again, the Word of God is no greater book. There's none comparable. If you're not reading your Bible, you're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. But if you will look at verse 8 on your papers there, finally got it. I'm sorry. 90 years has some wear and tear sometimes on it, so y'all give me a little patience. And but in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. Now try to soak that in a moment. One day is as 1,000 years, and then 1,000 years is as one day. Well, you can't measure eternity. The Lord said He'd put our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Anybody got a micrometer or something we can do a little measuring with? How far is the east from the west? If you take that along and sit on it a while, it'll make you go to looking for God and what He put us here for. All right. Don't be ignorant. There is coming the judgments of God. There's what we call, there's basically two judgments. One of those being the great white throne judgment, and the other the judgment seat of Christ. You and I are not going to stand before the great white throne. Because the Bible says that when you stand there, the books are going to be open. And they will be. And every man is going to receive according to what he's done in the flesh. But never forget that judgment is coming. The Lord said it. But don't be ignorant of the Lord's word, especially. I pastored a church up in East Texas that I started for about 6 or 7 years. And in that church, I had two sisters. Well, matter of fact, there were three generations of people of the same family there. And we had two sisters in the church. And one of them brought up to me, seeking an argument. She said, the earth was square. Because the Lord spoke of the angels and the four corners of the earth. And you got to look at that and see if it's an idiom. But they said that the earth was square. Their daddy taught them that the earth was square. And then I read to them Isaiah 40, verse 22, where it says, the Lord sitteth on the circle of the earth. They scratched through the Bible. Where do you find that scripture at? Folk, you hate to call somebody ignorant, but there's a lot of folks that way. Sometimes we call ourselves that way. But again, let me say to you quickly that some things we as Christians need to be ignorant of. We don't want to know what's going on out there in the world. Let them have it. But it says these coffers that come will be walking after their own lust. And look at verse 4. The saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, let's read that again for emphasis' sake. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Folk, not everybody's going to believe. Scoffers are going to come. The Lord said they were. And they got here. But they'll be walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? They tried to deny the Lord. In Kentucky, there was a man that, in his effort to dispel the ark and the happening there, he went to the trouble and the expense of spending $100 million to build an ark. Matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, we had a family here visiting from up the way, and they have gone to that place in Kentucky. Some of you may have. I know there was a lady from the church some years back wanted to get up a bunch and go up and see the ark. Well, they won't see the ark that Noah built. And I don't need one to hear to say that it was built, just the fact for me to believe it.
That's right. Amen.
God doesn't have to explain himself. You remember that? God doesn't have to explain himself. And the word we're reading from is what he wanted us to know, or he wouldn't have given it to us. Not all things that he did are written. The Bible says if all things were written, the earth could not contain the volumes. If all that our Lord had done in his eternal life. But people are going to deny the Lord, period. brother pastor up here and I were together. And the fella approached us. He wanted to start an argument, brother. And Ricky did what he should have done. And he said, I don't pass by. You don't argue God's word. But he said, there is no God. Brother, you remember that? There is no God. Well, I'm glad that he's wrong about that. But look at verse 7 again. It said, but the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't be ignorant of that. But we don't know. We don't know what all the Lord's got lined up for us in eternity. He didn't try to explain to us what's going to be going on, other than he did tell us there was going to be 1,000-year reign called the millennial. And we have that ahead of us. We're going to get to serve the Lord in person, one-on-one, that millennial reign of Christ. Scripture said he shall rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And what are we going to be doing during that time? Well, he's the boss. We're going to let him decide. Now, you can imagine all kinds of things that God's going to have us do in eternity. We've all here today lost some of our loved ones. And we grieve, don't we, for our loved ones. But we know that we're going to rule and reign with them for 1,000 years on this earth. But what about after the 1,000 years? Can you grasp that one? As far as the east is from the west, you can't measure it. It's immeasurable. And our Lord is going to be in control. But the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire. And don't be ignorant of that. The Lord is not prejudiced. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The good news is, in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, be careful what you put all your hope and thoughts in on this earth, because you can't take it with you. The earthly things that we know today are strictly for the earth, because the other things are going to burn up. Scripture says they shall melt with fervent heat. And that's tough. Some of you that were here around here long know that I was in the foundry business and machine shop business for a long 70 years. I worked for one company. But I had the job of over the melting and pouring division, where we melted metal down to about 2,400 degrees. That was brass that we usually melted. and we poured it in the mold. And you had to get up there with a shield, and that blaze coming out of the furnace was extremely hot. You drop something off in the old furnace, and it would burn and burn up. Many times, my employees would be working, and I was a manager. I'd see them out putting metal in the furnace, melting it. And I'd walk up to them, and I'd say, "Sure is hot. Gonna be worse than that. When the elements melt with fervent heat." And that's the good news. The part I like in that verse, it says that the day of the Lord will come. A lot of people say, as pointed out in the scriptures, said, "Oh, I've heard that all my life." If y'all ever been around anyone, and when you try to talk to them about the Lord coming, and their response was, "I've heard that all my life." That just fulfills the scripture that we're studying now. It's coming, the day of the Lord is coming suddenly. The heavens shall pass away. Folks, I didn't say that. The Lord said it. And what the Lord says counts. He's good for His word. You and I are not comparable to our Lord. But look again at verse 11 and verse 12 right quick. Verse 11 said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on earth shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." But we've got something to look forward to. Death is not the end for the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But rather, it's the beginning of an eternity. And I don't have all the answers. What the Lord going to have us doing in eternity, I don't know. But I'd rather be Him than to be away from Him. What ought we to be? Knowing that things are going to melt with fervent heat. Let me say again to you, eternity is involved. The elements are going to melt, and that's a good thing. But we look for new heavens and a new earth. Don't worry about our loved ones. They've died. And those that know Christ are with Him. Those that reject Him, that's why we're here today. We want you to come to know our Lord as your Lord. One of the greatest things that's ever happened to Springcrest is the soul winning program we've got going. I love to look over and see the number as it grows. People that profess Christ as our Savior. Amen. And folks, if you've never gone, you need to go. Pastor Enrique goes on a regular basis. I'm a little bit elderly and don't go as much as I used to. But my thoughts and prayers are with the folk as they go. People don't want to be bothered, do they?
That's right.
And stranger, you knock on the door and they come to the door and you start explaining what you're there for. And most of them won't close the door then. There was an Oriental guy down here off of Gessner sometime back now, last year. Pastor Enrique walked up to the guy and said he wanted to talk to him about his soul and where he was headed. Man said, "I don't care where I go. Don't bother me. Don't bother me." And they get a lot of don't bother me, but they do have some that will stop and after listening to the Word of God, they accept the Word. And folk, that makes them born again.
Amen.
You can't be any more born than that. You say, "Well, wait a minute. What if this person don't go to church and what?" Well, that's their problem. They're still saved.
Right.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and close there, but. I had another happening. I've had many, thank the Lord, in 61 years of pastoring. But I don't know this lady that's talking about. Husband died. Called on me to hold a funeral. A little town called Cargan, Texas. And she said, "Brother Cobb," she said, "I put a knife in the casket with my husband." "Oh, yeah? Yeah, they say he's going to the happy hunting ground. He may need it." Now, I'm not kidding you, folks. That's actually not something I made up. But she put that big old scouting knife in the casket. Tell you something, folks. You don't need that.
Right.
It's a waste of time. But the lady actually told me, she said, "They've heard that he may be going to the happy hunting ground and he's going to have a weapon." Some things you can't, the word said, don't be ignorant. Some people are bound to be that way. All right. May the Lord add his blessings to these thoughts this morning. I appreciate y'all taking time to listen to me. I appreciate the privilege of Pastor Enrique giving me. It's just good to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. All right, we'll stand together. Pastor Enrique, would you give a closing prayer?
Yes, sir. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to just come to church and listen to your word and freely grow. What one of the Lord, help us to not be ignorant. So here today, just the word.
What do you say, brother?
Tired.
Yeah, boy, that was a bad thing down there, what, in Central Texas there, well.
Yeah, that flood.
Yeah, 51 people they've already found dead.
Oh, my gosh.
My grandson, Chris, his mother lives there, right in that town, that little town.
Oh, wow.